When the magnificent Krekka opened the door to the Magus' private viewing booth, a crack of light from the tunnel speared the gloom, flaring off the wall of glass. Before the Carny Master could get the door shut behind him, the half-metal monster snapped around in his recliner, steel eyes glaring.
Sorry.
His words hung in the air, apology unaccepted. He kicked himself for saying anything at all. Over the years, he'd learned that silence was always the best response. Contrite silence. With the viewing booth's door closed and darkness surrounding them, the one-way mirror again became transparent from their direction.
I see you brought your goggles as I requested. Go on, put them on.
Krekka hefted the massively overbuilt Comblock infrared sensors by their wide head straps. They were powered by a radium battery and came installed with a small warning plate in Russian. Extreme radiation hazard. He placed the heavy instrument on top of his head with the stubby goggle lenses pointing up at the ceiling like antler buds. On the other side of the glass, roustabouts were pushing the Wazzle's cage out of the tent. A moment after they disappeared through the lone exit, another trailer entered. It was tightly tarped over and dragged forward by men in black masks that covered their heads from crown to throat. Gas masks. To protect them from the deadly Zyklon B. How the Magus had discovered the stockpile of lethal gas was unknown. The Carny Master watched the one-eyed man stare at the cage and at the masked men pushing it. His blood ran suddenly cold.
He knows. Carter knows.
Of course he knows.
That doesn't worry you?
No, it doesn't. What it does is make what is about to happen all that much more sweet. The one-eyed man knows, and there's absolutely nothing he can do about it. Nothing he can do to save the good and innocent people of Bullardville. Nothing he can do to save his traveling companions, his own son, or even himself. Ryan Carter has a date with death today that he isn't going to miss. I hope you impressed on our looting teams the need for speed and selectivity.
They know what to take, and they're already taking it. By the time they're filling in the burial pit, they'll be done with the sacking, and all the booty will be safely packed away.
In the tent's center ring, one of the masked roustis loosened the edge of the tarp that covered the trailered cage. He ducked out of sight under the flap to open the nozzles of the pile of poison gas canisters.
Krekka?
Yes?
I must say that if I catch you closing your eyes this time, I will pluck them out and feed them to the goddamned Wazzles.
On the other side of the center ring, at the front row of spectators, there was a blur of movement. Before the Magus could move from his recliner, the mirror glass wall before him exploded in a wild spray of bullets. Krekka threw himself out the door and down the steps, nearly crushing Jackson, who sat chained to the foot of the rail. At Ryan's signal, Christy and Mildred broke ranks from the crowd and sprinted for the tent's exit, which was guarded by three big bare-chested men in full-head black masks. All three carried blue steel 9mm KG-99s on lanyards. As the two women bore down on the exit, one of the guards stepped up to meet them, his empty hands raised with palms out, pressing forward. A slowdown and stop gesture. The Rousty didn't notice what Christy had in her right hand until it was too late. As she charged, she raised her .38 caliber Smith & Wesson and pointed it between his hairy pecs, straight at his heart. The man staggered backward, fingers clutching frantically at his chest, as if trying to plug up the small dark holes to keep the gout of blood inside. Behind him, the other masked men were already untying the exit's flaps, getting ready to seal the death chamber nice and tight. The sounds of the blaster shots made them freeze. As Christy vaulted the masked man's slumping form, a blaze of blaster fire erupted from near the center ring. Blaster fire and breaking glass. The flurry of rounds could have been either Ryan or Dean or both, but JB's pump shotgun and Jack's .357 Magnum were unmistakable. Mildred had meanwhile dropped to one knee. The first pair of jacketed .38 caliber slugs caught the guard on the left just under the point of his chin and turned him. He twisted sideways into the tent wall and, leaning against it, hands to his throat, slid to the ground, kicking and jerking. The second guard was already moving, halfway out of the tent, while Mildred brought her target pistol sights to bear. The first shot hit him in the left shoulder. The second smacked into the tent fabric. It plucked mightily at the rubberized cloth, but made no hold. As she'd thought, it was Kevlar. By the time Mildred was up and running, Christy was already at the exit. They both knew they had to control the way out, and they had to control it now. Without slowing or considering what might have been waiting for her on the other side, the redhead dove through the opening, hitting the ground in a low shoulder roll, and came up kneeling with her blaster tracking in the direction the wounded Rousty had fled. He wasn't moving very fast, and his left shoulder hung down like a broken wing. He had his blaster clutched in his good hand. Hidden around the curve of the tent in the direction he was going were the circled carny wags, reinforcements. Christy didn't hesitate. She shot him in the back once, below the shoulder blade. A clean chill shot, right through the center of the heart. He fell on his face in the dirt and didn't move again. As the two women knelt beside the tent opening, the villagers started spilling out into the daylight, their eyes wide with terror. They didn't understand what was going on, what had been about to happen to them, how close they had come to horrible death. All they knew was that some strangers in the audience had opened fire on the carny crew, and the crew had returned the favor, and that they were caught in the middle. The moment Ryan saw the men in the black hood-like masks enter the tent, he knew the waiting was finally over and the time had come for action. He glanced over at JB, who was looking at him. The armorer knew too. He'd seen it at the same instant Ryan had. He put his hand on Jack's shoulder, and the albino nodded. Dean noticed this gesture in response and immediately looked up at his father, concern on his face. Ryan gave him a smile, which the boy instantly returned. When the tarp-covered cage was in the center of the ring, one of the masked workers loosened a tie-down, raised the edge of the tarp, and ducked his head and shoulders under it. The other masked men waited, their arms crossed over their chests, for him to finish. The audience waited for the magnificent Krekka to reappear. Behind the wall of mirrored glass, a creature half of flesh, half of steel, waited for his victims to start dying. Ryan Cotter waited for no one. With his shoulders squared on the chosen target, he cleared the Sig Sauer P226 from its holster. A pair of .38-caliber blaster shots popped from behind, from the direction of the tent's exit. The heads of the masked men in the center ring jerked around in surprise. At the same instant, the pre-dark weapon in Ryan's fist bucked as it fired. The masked Rousty took three tightly spaced rounds in the head. A millisecond later, the half-concealed man dropped out from under the flap, dropped as limp as jelly to his knees, and then fell forward. What little remained of his head rested against the hub of the trailer's wheel.